Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6. In the New Testament, it is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 6. And I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, spiritual leadership in the church, as we prepare to present men to you who we believe would benefit and bless our church to serve as deacons. And I'd like to start this morning by us meeting some men who many consider to be the first deacons in the Bible, men known as servant leaders, who set the stage and met the biblical standard for the office of deacon. Now, in this passage of Scripture, they do not hold the title of deacon, but everything that follows, you will see, even in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul, these men meet those qualifications and set a wonderful standard in God's Word for what a servant leader looks like. So Acts chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying," we're not talking about addition, we're talking about multiplication. The church was exploding in growth in the New Testament. It says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists." All of these people were part of the temple, were part of the church together, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Father, this morning we are so thankful to be in your house with your people, being able to sing about you, the name that is above every name, as we just sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So Lord, we're grateful this morning that we're not here singing our own tunes, singing about ourselves, singing about someone else, but we are here singing to and worshiping and following and serving and obeying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so today, as we learn and grow and, Lord, experience what your Scripture has to say on the subject of leadership, Lord, there is a vacuum, there is a void of leadership in our society, in the church, in the home, in education, certainly in the political arena. But Lord, you give us clear directive and content in your Scripture of how we are to lead and who we are to be and what it's to look like. And so today, as we have this message and then this meeting, order our steps in your Word, and we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for you alone are worthy, because Lord, this is your church and you love the church, and you gave yourself for your bride. And so we thank you for the privilege to be able to be a part of the body of Christ. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. There are two offices in Scripture, offices of leadership in the New Testament church. The first is pastor, and these titles can be interchangeable. The word most used would be elder in the New Testament. What a pastor, a spiritual leader, also known as an overseer or a bishop and a shepherd. The second office of which we will be dealing with today is the office of deacon. The Greek word is diakonos, and it means servant or minister. And if you look at the beginning, if you look at the beginning of the Scriptures of Acts 6, you'll find the word servant hidden in the meaning, the original meaning of those words. H.B. Charles wrote this, and it's so helpful. He said, "The spiritual qualifications for pastors and deacons overlap, but their roles are distinct. Pastors serve by leading. Deacons lead by serving. The church is not a one-man show. built around a human personality. Jesus is to be preeminent in all things. Jesus is to be preeminent in all things. The New Testament church guards the supremacy of Christ by teaching and modeling shared leadership in the church. So I would just say, even for myself, my role and responsibility here, I understand it, I know it. My dad served in this position. He founded our church in 1995. But dad was an interim pastor. He was an interim shepherd. It means he just had a window of time in this place. Every pastor, every shepherd, every overseer, every bishop is an interim in that position. We have a window of time when God allows us to be in this place, and then somebody else takes this place. So this is not about one particular personality or one man show. I understand that God has allowed me and Pastor Gary and Pastor Dan to be in these roles for just a window, a blip on the screen of time, and then we're gone. But while we are in these positions, we want to be faithful. So two offices, pastor and deacon. The first question I would like to answer this morning from Scripture on this subject of spiritual leadership and on deacons is, why do we need deacons in the church? The answer is because when the New Testament church first began, it was growing rapidly, as we just read, and there was a problem. There was a problem in the church. There was an issue. There was a complaint that arose and needed addressed, and the answer was the establishment of servant leaders and eventually the office of deacon. So look again at Acts 6, and let's see the story more in full. It says, now in those days, and if you don't have a Bible with you, I'll put it up on the slides as well. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now you can study more about that and understand the difference between the Hebrews and the Hellenists, but they were Jews, but they were different times, different timelines, and we won't get into those details. However, there was a complaint because some were being favored over others in the daily distribution, which involved food and money and finances. Carries on. Then the 12, the apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples. They got the church family together, and they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole congregation, the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then, look at the outcome, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. There was a problem, and now we see a remedy. And now the word of God is continuing. The work is not stunted. The work is not stopped. And what happens is it actually increases. And it increases because the remedy in this situation was the establishment of servant leaders and deacons. Now, for clarity's sake, the number 7 here does not mean that every local church is supposed to have exactly 7 deacons, as if 6 is not enough and 8 is just a little too many. But it was determined that the needs represented here in this portion of Scripture and that required attention and action could be met and accomplished with the help of 7 additional men. Our church has had different numbers of deacons over the years, and depending on the season our church was in, and the needs that were present and who fit that category of leadership, we had that specific amount. And as our church is currently in a season of growth, we believe that it is time to add more deacons. Now, we understand the reason. We understand the why we need deacons. More importantly, let's look at who a deacon is to be. Because God cares about who we are more than He cares about what we do. God cares more about who we are, our character, than just the activity, the busyness that we do. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy. And we're going to see a list of biblical qualifications here for both pastors and deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, a pastor, an overseer, a shepherd, an elder, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. And blameless doesn't mean that he's perfect or that he doesn't have any struggles or sins or faults. It just means that his life is above reproach, that he's living in a way that pleases God. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not a beginner, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Verse 8, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also be first tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. So let's look to the screens and just walk through these again and double down on them. The Bible says if you're going to be a deacon, a pastor, but even a deacon as well, here are the qualifications. You must be worthy of respect. You must live a dignified life where people can look to you and you set an example of what a Christ follower is to be. You're not double-tongued. You're honest. You're trustworthy. You're not a gossip. You know how to, as James says, that the tongue is like a fire. But you have brought your mouth and your words to submission to Christ. You're not addicted to wine. It means you're spirit-filled, you're self-controlled. This is, you're not addicted. That would cover, this would be a blanket statement of all areas. Not just drinking. You're not just not to be a drunkard, but whether it is food or lust or whatever it may be, those areas. The Bible says that we're to be temperate. We're to be self-controlled. We're supposed to set a good example, not just with our words, but with our conduct, with our bodies. And then a spiritual leader is not to be greedy. They are not driven by money and materialism. If you look at Washington, D.C., and you begin to get into the behind-the-scenes stuff, have you ever heard of the word pork in a bill? What does that mean? That means that there's one particular area that they want to make a law about, but then you'll have all these additional secondary things that they will strive to, you know, push in there and pack in there into a bill that has nothing to do with whatever, the study of frog feet, and they'll jam that in there and spend millions of dollars on studying mosquitoes in Africa or something like that. That's pork on a bill that has to do with like repaving, taxes on repaving interstates in the United States, whatever it may be. But they're jamming extra stuff in there. Why? Because they get special interest groups. And when these things are, you know, there's a lot of pocketing of money and all these things by our political leaders. We all know that. But the Bible says if you are going to be in spiritual leadership in the church, you ought not to be greedy and driven by, as the old King James says, filthy lucre. And so you're not greedy. And then sound in faith. A leader in God's house ought to be spiritually mature and have wisdom. And they're helping make decisions. And then tested and blameless. They are proven faithful over time. And then they're to be the husband of one wife. They're faithful. They have fidelity in their marriage. And then they manage their home well. They lead their family in godliness. They apply discipline and punishment and love and grace to their children, but they strive to have a family that is pleasing to the Lord, and their kids are not, you know, wild rogue agents out on their own doing their own thing, but they are submitting to their parents' authority. And then they're to be of good reputation, known for integrity, and they have a good rapport with the church and also in their work and in the community. And then they are filled with the Spirit. They are Spirit-fed, Spirit-led. And Oswald Sanders, in his book, Spiritual Leadership, which is so helpful, he said, spiritual leadership requires Spirit-filled people. Other qualities are important. To be Spirit-filled is indispensable. It is absolutely essential and necessary and priceless. And we need men who are filled with the Spirit who serve and lead in this church. And then they are to have servant's heart. And they serve with joy and humility and a standard of excellence. And they strive to not just meet the bare minimum, but they go above and beyond to strive to serve and give their lives for the Lord and the Lord's people and the Lord's house and serving with joy and humility. And then they set a faithful example in submission to spiritual authority, and they promote and they live unity and communion with the people of God, and they are actively engaged. They fellowship. They are generous. They tithe. They meet the needs of the church. And so if you look at 1 Timothy and Acts, you will see all of these qualifications, these standards that come out in someone who is taking on the position of a deacon or a pastor, and that is who they are to be. And let me just, we'll introduce them here in just a little while, but take time this morning to praise the Lord for the deacons who we currently have. And Steve Thompson, he's been here since we started this church in our home in 1995. Steve Thompson and his wife Janet. And then Tom Hubble, just a faithful, absolute workhorse in the house of the Lord and with God's people, and his wife Pat. And then Casey Swanson and his wife Natalie. They serve in a multiplicity of ways in our church and help us lead this church. And then John Burke and his wife Kelly. And similarly, they just, all of these folks serve and give and love and lead and have invested their very lives and their time and their schedules and their resources and money and their hearts and their families in order to help lead and guide God's church. I would not My family would not be here if it wasn't for deacons. We would not be here. I assure you, we couldn't do the work, and even more so than that, the relationships, the friendships, the faithfulness. At every age and stage of my life, there has been a deacon or deacons and their wives who have been indispensable in helping whether to care or to chide or correct or help carry the load or out front where you see, but especially behind the scenes. And I praise the Lord for deacons and what they mean to this church body. They are, and we're blessed with all kinds of servants. Many who have titles and many of you who don't, where you serve the Lord. But I would just say that our deacons, that special office that God's Word references, is it's not just an empty suit. It is. It matters, and it is a great blessing to our church. So why do we need deacons? Who a deacon is to be? And then thirdly, what a deacon does. What a deacon does, and here is, I think, a helpful definition. The primary role of the deacon is to be a servant. To be a servant. The church needs deacons to provide practical, logistical, and material support so that the pastors can focus on the Word of God and prayer. And so that is exactly how our deacons help this church, is they help with all of, I mean, the welcome team this morning, that whole ministry is so important, and it's headed up by one of our deacons, John and Kelly Burke. The nursery ministry, helping the children, Natalie Swanson and Kelly Swanson team up and do that. I mean, we've got, and deacons' families. And then even something as simple as turning on and off the heat. So we don't turn into the book of Acts 6 and there's a lot of complaining going on. Taking out the trash. Our deacons do that. Big things, important things. We meet usually every other month. And they help not only serve the church, but also in certain aspects of decision making and keeping us informed of needs, your needs, hospital visits. I could just go down through the list where their love for this church and their service to this church is priceless. And they do so much, and they do it voluntarily. And they do it not for recognition, but they do it to honor and glorify the Lord. And they live this definition well. They are servants, and they do so in practical ways. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. So you're in Acts 6 or 1 Timothy 3, the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew. And we'll pick up in verse 26. Let's go back to verse 25 just to get a little context of what's happening here. It says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They leverage their leadership positions in a dictatorial, overwhelming, overpowering way. The word lord, they want to rule over people. He said, you know, and these are lost. It's an example of the Gentiles, an example of lost, unsaved styled leaders, type leaders. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet, it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And then here it is, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what a deacon does. A deacon is simply fulfilling who and what Jesus is and what Jesus did and what Jesus does. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. And I'm so, again, thankful for the office of deacon and these men and their wives who give themselves for the service of our church family in this community. This morning, in just a few moments, we're going to sing. But you say, well, this is a little bit of a different kind of service. Like, we walked through the Gospel of John for almost a year and a half. We just finished that up. And then we had Easter. And then we had a baptismal service. And we kind of got that. This seems a little bit more, business type. Yes, it is. Because the church needs operations. We have to operate according to the standard of God's Word. Amen? And so you have to have times when you cover these subjects and these topics. I have preached through the book of 1 Timothy. That was my first full series. And that deals with, and it was called Church Life. And it deals with why and what and who and how a church is to be and operate. And then we walk through 2 Timothy. And talking about faithfulness. But it gets into more. Again, how a church and how a pastor and all those things are to operate. So we've covered those things, but periodically we have to bring these subjects before you and help us understand what does spiritual leadership really look like. And you say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm just a parishioner. I'm just a churchgoer. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but this service is not real. Doesn't really apply to me. Not so fast. Not so fast. Because, look, all of these guys that we just read about a few minutes ago, those seven men, Steve and Phil, you remember them? Stephen and Philip and Nick and Nico and the other guys. Who were they in the church? They were you. Jesus established the New Testament church. And in Acts 1 and 2, this whole thing kicks off. And by Acts 6, the thing is just blowing up and they need help. And God called the pastors, the preachers to preach the word and give spiritual leadership. But they couldn't go around and keep the widows happy. So they needed help. And so they looked out and they said, who is living a good godly life and who has a servant's heart? And we're going to tag those people and tap them for servant leadership. Well, that's exactly what we desire to do here with many of you. We don't want you just to come and be a consumer. We want you to get, we want you to receive, but we want you to be a contributor. We want you to grow. We want you to mature. We want you to put your life in such an order that when there is a need to be called upon, there are people who are ready and that are in the batter's box being raised up to take the place of those who will in time step aside or pass away, and the work of the church continues. And so before you say this morning, oh, this is a little bit more business type, doesn't really apply to me. It does. It applies to all of us. And my heart and the desire of this church is that there will be continual, as has been over the years of this church, there will be more preachers and pastors that are raised up and brought up in this church, and more pastors' wives, and more deacons' wives, and more kids' church ministry leaders, and all of these areas we are striving to teach and train and equip you to be in those positions and be in those offices as the Lord leads us. And so, all that to say, do not think you get a pass on this. Because eventually, the knock may come on your door or the ring may come on your phone and the pastor or the pastors will be calling you and saying, would you pray about being in this position? So I ask you this morning, are you living a life that pleases God? What example is your character setting, your testimony, your conduct for your family, for your children, for your workplace? Because even if you don't have a spiritual title or an office in the church, God has called you and desires and wants to use you to influence others with the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that's our heart this morning, that as we share some names with you and share some opportunities this morning, we want you to look at your own heart, your own life, and ask, am I allowing the Lord to lead me where He wants me to go? And am I living in such a way that if the opportunity arises, I'm living in such a way that God can use me and use my family in more deeper ways than He currently is? I'd ask our praise team to come, or those who are singing, and just like you to bow your heads this morning. I would like for you to do some evaluation this morning of your own heart and your own life. Are you living a life that is pleasing to God? As you look at that, those qualifications for spiritual leadership, any of those areas, integrity, greed, purity, reputation, hospitality, generosity, there's a lot there. Is there any area of your life this morning that you need to bring before the Lord and say, Jesus, you've, like Chris Horton has said, you've painted a target on my chest this morning, and I want to get that right and align my heart, align my life, align my family, align my schedule, align my money, align all of every area of my life. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing under the mattress cover. There's nothing in the closet. There's nothing under the bed that is off limits to you, Lord. There's nothing on my phone. There's nothing in my email. There's nothing in my gun safe. There's nothing, Lord, that you don't and can't have access to. I am fully surrendered to you, Jesus. And so this morning, as we bring some names before you, what about your own name? What about your own name? And as we sing, where He leads me, I will follow. This morning, if you need to surrender to the Lord in some area of your life, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you need to come this morning and repent of your sins and trust Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, we're so grateful that we don't have to guess or we don't have to make up what your church should be and how it should operate. But Lord, you give us clear guidance in your holy word. And I pray today that as we, Lord, consider spiritual leadership and people who are putting their name and their heart out there and their lives out there and their families out there to step up and serve, Lord, more than they already do, I pray that you would bless them and give us wisdom as a church family in choosing who represents your church and serves your church. But Lord, just for this flock, this congregation, Lord, as we saw that list, it's a long list. Lord, if there's areas that we need to get right and humble ourselves and seek your face and make sure that our lives are being lived in such a way where when you call us, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to serve and lead. So Lord Jesus, move and help us in this hour of our service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? Let's sing this as a testimony to the Lord.
Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, with Him all the way.
Sing that one more time, a cappella.
Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, with